I wanna share something with you. Just we've had an excellent weekend away last week as elders. Brilliant time together. Just how the Lord spoke to us and highlighted some things, and which I'm gonna try and weave into my preach this morning. Not sure how that's gonna go. Are you guys awake still? Great. That's good news. But I wanna share something that happened to me in Israel. Again, I'm gonna try and touch on it as we go on through this year, but we've had some incredible God moments in Israel, and then I've had some incredible moments that scared the life out of me, all right? Which is like, we read the Old Testament somehow, and we see that Israel was the Lord's chosen nation, they were the people, and somehow they missed Him. Somehow when Jesus came for His people, when the Messiah came, His very people missed Him. And I mean, I've read that and you understand the Bible, but when you were there and you saw how the events often played out, it scared the life out of me. And I just realized that there's a verse in Romans 13 that says, listen here, I'm summarizing it, okay, the Bible didn't say listen here, okay, but Romans 13 says that if the Jews were the original ones, okay, they were the chosen ones, and the Gentiles, us, were crafted into God's nation, okay? Do not think that we are above falling away. If they missed it, so can we. And we looked at that and I said to the Lord, man, I don't want to miss you when you come. And I think one of the ways that we can quickly miss the Lord is if we get a touch to structure, that we make a man-made thing out of a God-made thing. When God said, I will build my church, and we said, I have a great idea how to do it. We can have good welcoming, a little bit of worship, good preach, and okay, nobody laughed at that. And then some good worship at the end, coffee at the back, and we go home, and that is a good church. All right? And we try and make man-made structure out of a God-built thing. And I think if we continue down that line, we're going to miss the Lord when He comes. And one word that came out for us at the elders camp, which just stood far above everything else, is like, Josh, Jen, you're called to be those who are led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit, all right? And that very, very seldom will include the same structure week after week. All right? But it's uncomfortable, all right? I'm telling you, trying to prep for a morning like this is barely impossible, all right? Like even this morning, I think up until now, we still don't have a clue how this morning is supposed to go, because I don't want to put a man-made form in what the Lord wants to come and do this morning, all right? And so one of the things in 1 Kings 12, I'm going to summarize it. Just trust me, it's in the Bible. I'm going to summarize the story for us. But there was a guy. So let's start way back. So everybody heard of David, all right? David, good guy, man after God's heart. He has a son called Solomon. Solomon walks in the ways of the Lord for some time. Then he gets 700 wives. Bad call, okay? Things are due to go a little bit difficult. If you go down that route. But the point was, he lost sight of the Lord, all right? And the Lord told him, do not marry ladies from another nation. And he thought, why not? I don't quite understand why. I'm just going to go for it, okay? And he lost sight of the Lord. And God said, listen here, if it was only because of you, I would tear the kingdom away from you. But because of your father David, I won't. And so I'm going to tear a part of it, 10 tribes, are not going to be yours to rule anymore. And you're going to have these two because of your father David, all right? So Israel splits in two. Quick history lesson, all right? Kings come, kings go. Some do well, some do not. And you get a guy called Jeroboam. Anybody heard of Jeroboam before, all right? In Kings, if you read Kings, pretty exciting book. It's like reading Lord of the Rings in many ways, okay? Like back and forth. And so you get a guy called Jeroboam, At the start of Jeroboam's life, it says he started reigning when he was this old. And then there's this terrific verse that says, and Jeroboam did more evil in the sight of the Lord than any man before him. All right? Now,
please, Jesus, I don't want that to be ever read about me or written down about me, that Hannah's did more evil in the sight of the Lord than any man before him, okay? That is not the kind of thing that you want to read about yourself. And so I thought, okay, it must be because he was the first guy to create altars for other gods and sacrifices. So that is pretty evil, okay? And we get to Israel, and there's a town called Dan, or a city called Dan, a small place, okay? And we go there, that's one of the 12 tribes, Dan. And Andrew starts ministering to us, and he says, this place is where Jeroboam raised up the first Asherah poles, which was evil in sight of the Lord. But here's the thing that really upset the Lord, if I can go there, all right? Is it says that Jeroboam considered the people, and the Lord said this. He said, 3 times a year, I want the whole nation of Israel to go up to Jerusalem and worship me there. Why? I don't know why. Okay, there was a temple. God said, this is how I want it to be done. That 3 times a year, I want you to go there. Jeroboam thought, do you know how far Jerusalem is? All right, we don't have cars. Like, it takes 3 weeks to walk there and 3 weeks to walk back 3 times a year. I mean, seriously, God, that's a bit tough, okay? The people just want to worship you. Let's help them out here. So he goes, I've got an idea. All right, don't go there, all right? I've got an idea. Let's build an altar for the Lord here that is close. It's around the corner, all right? And then for you guys who stay on that side of Israel, let's build the altar there. Yeah? And I know the Lord has certain ways that he wants things to be done, so we'll get some priests. Listen, you and you and you and you come serve as priests in the temple. And the Bible says that he chose priests who weren't Levites. And the Lord was pretty clear from the beginning of time, Levites were the priests. Okay? But hey, there's not Levites here, they're in the other town, so let's get these guys. All right? And he said, we'll even do the feasts every 15th day of the month. And he goes and he sets a form of godliness instead of the real deal. And it's written about him that he did more evil in the sight of the Lord than any man before him. And I asked the Lord, how quick are we to fall into the same trap? It scared me. All right? And so often, man, which church is closest to my house? All right? Instead of where does the Lord want me to be? Simple example. But you know, last night that happened. I don't feel like coming to church this morning. The Lord will understand. Maybe, maybe not. Okay? And there are certain ways of you like to do that, I like to do this. And I think there was a time when I was there and I realized the consequence of what Jeroboam's actions caused for generations after him. All right? That I don't know if I'm willing to risk something of maybe the Lord will be okay with this if he set it in a certain way. You guys with me? Good word, man. And not a nice word, but a good word. Man. And I think as Josh Chen, when I joined here, the very thing that we were known for was that we are those who have no structure. Man. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Any Sunday, anything can happen. And over time, the very thing that we were almost known for, to be not, you get me, we fell into. Hey, guys. So good to have you. Visitors, who's here for the first time? We've got a couple of announcements, finance teaching, some worship, some preach, response, coffee at the back, let's go home, see you on Wednesday. Next week, visitors, welcome. And we go through a structure, and the very thing actually that the Lord has called us not to be, we fall into so quickly. And it feels like, Josh Chen, the Lord is calling us to not be that again. All right, where he says, you're not those who have a form of godliness. All right, you're called to be those who are led by the Spirit. Yeah? No amens to that. All right, we'll keep going. But I asked the Lord, so what does it look like? Because here's the other part, just before the elders camp, Grant felt, man, let's just pray together as elders that the Lord will unite our hearts. We pray for the camp. And we set out 45 minutes quickly. We're just going to pray together, trust the Lord will bind us. And you know how lucky it is when you have 45 minutes and it's like the Lord is just there from minute one and he speaks. And one word that we felt while we were praying together is God said this, and I think he aimed it mostly at me, okay? He said, you're getting too serious about, or you're getting too, he said, you're getting too serious and you forget that following me is having fun as well. God wants us to, no, okay. God wants us to have fun in following him again, eh? Okay, yes, all right. And I think sometimes I like to be intentional. I think when we come together, it needs to be intense and we're going to go somewhere and we're going to do stuff. And I felt the Lord said, remember that I gave you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Joy in following me, a spirit of joy. Now, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I felt God tune me specifically on us, remember to have fun, okay? Which you should be very excited about. And then there's always the question, like I asked the Lord, so what does it look like in following the spirit and having fun, but also being intentional? Because we still need to be. We can't just go with happy-go-lucky. And then this morning, we're going to scan through this quickly, and then we're going to worship together. You guys still with me now? So the book of Acts, all right, where the church started. So, key story for those of you who know, and I'm going to summarize quickly, okay? Jesus came, he was here with us, he died, he was right, and while he was on earth, he says, it is better for you that I go, because I'm going to send you the helper. All right, that is a good word. He was speaking about the Holy Spirit, okay? So Jesus dies, and he gets raised from the dead, which is also a big thing. And then he says, we're going to go through the whole book of Acts quickly, all right? That's amazing, okay? So Acts 1, he says the promise of the Spirit. So he says that the guys were gathered together, and he says, wait on me, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit, all right? And then chapter 2, it speaks about the day of Pentecost, and we spoke about that often. They were gathered together in one room. There came a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and the Spirit was poured out on them. All right? And so they're there together, and one guy, Peter, who was now, he was the guy who just a month ago denied Jesus. Can you imagine that? Some of you felt like that before. It's like, listen, I'm disqualified. I think very few of us have turned at the point of denying Jesus. All right? And the Lord chooses this guy where he restores him again. He says, I'm going to use you. And it says in Acts 2 that the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon Peter. And he stood up and he started preaching. He says, guys, we are not drunk like some of you thinking. All right? We didn't have any alcohol. But we are under the power of the Spirit. All right? And he started explaining that, do you remember that when the prophet Joel said this? This is it. And it's happening. All right? And there, probably what Josh Jen is known for, is it says that they gathered in one another's houses daily, sharing, breaking bread, praying together, all right? Gathering, having fellowship. Then we're going, Acts chapter 3, all right? And Peter and John are walking, and they were like just going probably on their way to meet together, and there's a lame guy sitting there, say, hey, I can't move. And they says, silver and gold we do not have, but what we have, in Jesus' name, get up and walk. And he starts getting up and walk. That's some power there in the Holy Spirit, all right? Acts chapter 4, it says that Peter and John, now the council is upset because they healed this guy on the Sabbath, whatever. Bring them before the council. And the guy said, listen here, on the way that they're dragging them to the council, okay, there's now a crowd gathering because you got guys who are now like, hey, this guy's just healed that other oak. So they're dragging Peter and John, and there's a crowd. And Peter realizes, hey, there's some people here. And as he's being dragged to prison, he starts preaching. All right, how's that? Try that one day. So he's being dragged to prison. He's like, you remember Jesus who you crucified? It was actually him. And he says, on that moment, 3,000 people get saved. All right, power work of the Holy Spirit. All right, Acts chapter 5, you get people who want to again do the real deal, but in a form of godliness. Ananias and Sapphira. Think, listen, everybody's selling some stuff and then giving all the money to the apostles. We also want to do it and we want to look good. But I don't want to give away all my money. All right? So they say, hey, we sold the field for this much. Here's the money. Doof, drops dead. All right? Not by the devil, by the Lord. All right? And so it says, the workers just took him out. Because he lied, okay, if you're wondering why I died. Sorry, he lied, okay? He was trying to trick the Holy Spirit there. Not a good idea. And while they're carrying out his body, his wife walks in, and they ask him, Oscar, how much did you sell the field for this amount? Poof. All right, the Holy Spirit. Yeah? That's heavy. All right, so I can't go into all the details. If you have any questions, you're welcome to go read Acts. All right, it's all in there. Yeah? Acts chapter 6. The guy says, listen, the church is growing so quickly, we 12 can't do this anymore. We're going to need some guys who can help us with the admin side of things and the serving of them so that we can devote ourselves to prayer and the word. And they appoint deacons, all right? Who's our deacons here? Woohoo! Okay? They are appointed by the Lord under the Spirit. Okay? It wasn't just a practical thing. The requirement was men and women full of the Holy Spirit. All right? Acts chapter 7, a guy, a deacon called Stephen, is so offensive to the religious guys. Okay, and again, that should be us sometimes in many ways. When we fall into religious traps, that those who are under the Spirit should be offensive in many ways, not hide. Okay, and Stephen is so offensive to the religious leaders. Sorry, my tongue. I guess Afrikaans. Okay, that's quite a hard sentence to say. But he's so offensive to the religious leaders that they stone him. All right, not with weed. With rocks, okay? Okay? Just trying to get that sorted out, okay? Great. Yeah, thank you. And I've heard that while they were standing there, they were singing, we will rock you. Okay? So bad joke, okay? Okay? So they're stoning Stephen because he... Okay, no, not good again, but they're stoning Stephen because he was a man of the Spirit, not because he was doing the right things. Okay, sorry for that if I offended anyone. Okay, it's really funny. And then you get a guy in Acts chapter 8, a guy called Philip, who's running, and the Lord tells him, hey, there's an Ethiopian eunuch that I want you to go and meet. And he says, that guy's on a chariot. How will I ever catch him? Under the power of the Spirit, how's this? Teleportation, people, okay? Gets teleported to the guy. Next moment, he's right behind him in his chariot. Whoa. Have you considered that the Spirit wants to do that? Okay? And he leads a guy to the Lord. And this guy was actually an Ethiopian prince, or he was in the temple. And did you know that Ethiopia today, 95% of Ethiopian is Christian? Guess where it started? Ethiopian eunuch. Ne? Power of the Spirit, not a form of godliness. All right? Acts chapter 9, the conversion of Saul. All right? So you got a guy who's persecuting the church, thinking he's doing the right thing for the Lord. And how often have we fallen into that I think, I'm doing the Lord a favor by sorting this person out. Because, all right? Okay. Thank you. Okay? Saul gets saved, and his name gets changed to Paul. And he becomes the most significant leader in the New Testament. And he writes 24? No, that's wrong. 13. There's 24 books in the New Testament. Okay, I think he writes something like that. More than half of the New Testament. All right? By the conversion of Saul. Powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit. And he gets saved. Okay? Still with the Holy Spirit. Not an act of man. Okay? Acts chapter 10. Let's scan here. Peter gets a vision that you can eat bacon. All right? Probably the best moment in church history where he is under the power of the Spirit, and the Lord tells him there's no longer Jew or Gentile. And this is bigger than bacon, okay? But it's the fact that we can know the Lord. All right? That if it was only Jews today, then we couldn't have had church. All right? Praise Jesus for Acts chapter 10. That God said the Gentiles are now included. Yeah? All right? That's us, that we can know the Lord. And Peter gets a revelation. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, but the Lord has come for us. He wants all men to be saved. All right? The power of the Spirit that revealed it. All right? And then, Acts chapter 11. He goes to the church and he declares that. So, guys, listen here. And there's a whole debate there because the guys are confused now. Okay, now, should they become Jewish or not? And there's no. Okay, so that's still included in that portion. Then, Acts chapter 12. James and Peter are in prison. The saints are praying for them. All right. The next moment, while they are singing, chains are starting to fall off them and they walk out of prison. In the middle of the night. To such extent that Peter knocks on the door of where the saints are praying. And the lady opens the door. And is so surprised that it's him. Doof! Closes the door in his face again. And say, guys, you won't believe Peter is here. They're like, where? She forgot him outside the door. All right? But there were some power prayers from the saints who freed the apostle. Yeah? Acts chapter 13. Paul and Barnabas, we read about him, and they're getting sent to go declare to Cyprus. So it's the first missionary trip that we see that Saul and Barnabas does, is they go from Israel to another nation to go and declare what Jesus is doing and about the Holy Spirit. And they get there and they meet the group of guys and they say, guys, have you been baptized? And they say, yes, we've been baptized of water, but we've never even heard of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, I've got good news for you. All right. No longer it needs to be religious acts. The Holy Spirit. All right. Does any of this sound boring so far? Not at all. Okay. Chapter 14. Let me scan through quickly here. So again, Paul got stoned. Not by weed. All right. But Paul is stoned. So sorry, it's a bad joke. I'll stop that. Okay. But Paul goes to town. And he's not the guy stoning someone else. He actually gets stoned and he's laying there to the point that guys thinks he's dead. The next morning, under the power of the Spirit, Paul gets up and he continues preaching the gospel. Now, most of us, when you had a near-death encounter thrown by rocks, okay, you weren't shot. This was a painful process. If you get up by the mercy of the Lord, you go away. All right? But he's compelled by the Holy Spirit, and he goes to the very same synagogue where they started persecuting him. That's the love of Christ that compels us, okay? The Holy Spirit. Then, let me scan through quickly here. Then, at the Jerusalem Council, now there's a problem here. They're discussing, listen, how can this be? What do we need to do? Do the Gentiles now need to get circumcised? What's the issue here? And Paul, and Peter writes this, and he says, no. But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, okay? Not by works. Not by what we do. Not by what we act on the outside. But by the grace of Jesus. By the mercy of Jesus, you get saved. Good revelation to have, all right? Chapter 16, I'm scanning through here. Paul and Silas are in prison. Guess what happens? They're singing songs. They're getting freed up. Here's a scary part. When the guard sees, whoa, these guys are loose and they're running, he's about to kill himself. All right? And guess what? Paul and Silas didn't run away. They said, don't worry, we're still here. We're chilling in the prison. Again, why? Okay? And they lead that Roman soldier to the Lord and his whole household becomes saved. Do you realize that it's so much bigger than just what we think in the moment is a good idea? If they left, that guy would have killed him and his whole family would have perished. All right? But under the power of the Spirit, they realize, listen, we are free, but the Spirit is telling us to stay. So we stay. Whole family gets saved. Chapter 17. They go to Athens, okay? So he's going to the Greeks and they're serving a whole bunch of gods. They're saying, listen here, we've got a... Look how good we are trying to be. We're honoring all these gods, all right? And there's even a statue for the unknown God. And Paul, under the power of the Spirit and filled with wisdom, says, listen here, I see that you guys are good religious men, all right? You're even trying to cover all bases for the one God you don't even know. I know who he is, and he's bigger than all of these, all right? And he leads Greece, who are the thinkers, the university people, the clever ones who we think we can't interact with, under the power of the Spirit, he brings the gospel to Greece. And Greeks get saved, even with the intellectual thinking. All right? But it's the power of the Spirit. Listen, guys, I want to say, sometimes when we think we need to go evangelize, and I'm putting my foot out here now in dangerous territory, but there's a temptation to say, where's the beggars? The beggars. All right? Because I don't have to discuss it with them. Okay? Sometimes we're scared to go to the intellectual ones. Because what will I say? Listen, I think evangelism is not just going out into the street and looking for the hungriest guy who actually just wants food. That is part of it, definitely. But sometimes under the power of the Spirit, we can go to your boss. We can go to the one who's actively professing something. You can go under the power of the Spirit to your teacher who's preaching evolution in class and say, I don't think so, because here's why. All right, kiddies, youth, okay? I think we need to risk more, again, not out of ourselves, but under the power of the Spirit with evangelism. All right? Chapter 18. They're in Corinth. boldly speaks. He says he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him and explained the way of God to him more accurately. So you've got deacons again who sees this guy. And they're like, listen, yeah, we can see that the power of God is on you. But can we help you to understand this better? So they're training one another in the spirit to be more effective. That's good. That's church, all right? That's what's happening to me at the moment. They see that I'm bold, but they always, when I'm done here, they're helping me. Can I help you to understand better? All right? That's what's happening in my life at the moment. Yeah. Then, we're almost done, guys. Chapter 19. I feel I want to go through this, okay? So, let me see. Chapter 19, it says that God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. All right. Sometimes we get miracles that we pray for, and it is a miracle when the Lord answers it. Sometimes there are extraordinary miracles that the Lord wants to do that even unbelievers must go, wow. Okay. A sign and a wonder. Okay. A sign is something pointing somewhere. Miracles are signs pointing us to the Lord. Extraordinary miracles. Okay. We can't be here to play church. I'm trusting the Lord for extraordinary miracles among us. All right. Then Paul speaks to the Ephesian elders, equips them, and then he says them this thing again under the Spirit. And they're asking, like, what should we do? And he says, do you know what? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Training them that you guys don't only come here to receive. It is better to give financially and with your time. It is more blessed before the Lord to give than to receive. You must be under the Spirit to get that. All right, because you think, I'm come here, they've got a good thing running, let me just get something. Before the Lord, it is better to give than to receive. And then Paul goes to Jerusalem, preach there, and he's arrested again. Okay, chapter 22 speaks to the people. So I'm scanning through it quickly. There's one part I want to get to. And then it's getting harder and harder. And Paul wants to go. He says, should I go to this town? And now, remember, doesn't have a car. All right, so he walks for a long time, and it gets to this place, and he feels the Spirit of the Lord tells him, no, you shouldn't be here. Okay, goes away. Goes to another place, gets here, feels the Spirit of the Lord tells him, no, not here. Goes to another place, feels the Spirit of the Lord tells him, not here, and he doesn't preach. And it took forever to get there. And he would think, why wouldn't the Lord just tell him where to go? All right? But there's something of, like, okay, God, whatever, I'm here, I'm just going to preach. Okay? No. And then the Lord tells him in a dream, you must go to Rome. Now, Rome in those days was not the place where he wanted to be. And as when he got to Rome, he was killed. All right? And we read that, it's like, did he make a mistake? Did he miss it fourth time lucky? And he was just like, oh, let's just preach. No. It was the very place where the Spirit told him to go. But what the Spirit also says, what Jesus said is, blessed are you when they persecute you on behalf of my name. Under the Spirit. See, I'm going to land there. Thank you. Go and read Acts. I want to stir you. I think there's something for us there that as we, let's do that for the next month. Can we as a church read Acts together? And I think there's something that the Lord wants to unlock in us, that this thing, following Jesus, is way bigger than what we want to admit. It is way more fun than what we make it sometimes. All right? Can you imagine being in prison and the Lord frees you as you're singing? Good grief, man. I want to have stories like that. All right? And I want to stir you, Josh Jen, again, that don't come here on a Sunday and expect a performance. Okay? Not going to do that. I can't do that. All right? I want to say, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And there was something so beautiful for me this morning. And the worship team, you can maybe come back. Are you still there? Okay, that's good. But there was something for me this morning when we came together as elders, that all of us were ready. Whatever the Lord says, we'll do it. Where the Lord is calling us, I can do it. We are faith to go. And there's something, and that was us as a team. But how beautiful it'd be when us come together. It was something to give and say, whatever the Lord wants to do this morning, I'm there. I can do it. Okay? If God wants to use me this morning under the power of the Spirit, I'm keen. I'll do it, Lord. And so, you guys must help me now, you know, because I'm going to... But I think before the Lord that we must commit ourselves to say, God, if you are building your pride, I don't want to put a man-made structure over it and say, that'll be so much more comfortable to do it this way. There's something precious for us that when we
when we get together, and really, I want to say, I don't even know what's going to happen now. All right? It's beautiful before the Lord. God, won't you lead us? What do you want me to do now? God, where do you want us to go now? What will bless your heart now, God? Do you know that a prayer meeting, if we just call one now out of duty and without faith, is actually sin before the Lord? Because anything you do outside of faith is sin. All right? But if we, and it looks good, it sounds good, it looks religious. But before the Lord, he's looking for, where's the Spirit? How does it look like for us to follow the Spirit? Guys, we need to be people of the Spirit. Sometimes the Lord will come rushing upon us, okay? And he's just manifesting himself in us. I love that, right? Sometimes he's going to do extraordinary miracles among us. I love that. Sometimes some of us will experience persecution on account of the Lord. Before God, I want to say, I want to love that. But I want to love walking with the Spirit more than when I want to fall into a structure. I don't want to be Jeroboam who wants to make it easy for you to follow the Lord, thinking that it's a good idea. But if the Lord asked us to be people of his Spirit, that's what we want to be. So can we commit ourselves to that this morning? All right. Say, God, we don't want to make it easier for ourselves to follow the Spirit, but we really want to be where you are. Okay? And let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Really, God, today as a church, we make it our prayer and say, we just want to do whatever pleases you, Lord. Not something that is comfortable for us. God, we are aware that structure is a happy place for many of us, Lord. But today we want to say, God, we want to be a people of your Spirit, God. I pray that even as, if we have to write a book about Marcus Josh Jen at the end of this year, it will sound something like Acts. Gathering together under the power of the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, seeing miracles happen, but a people of the Spirit, God.